drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Welcome on in to the CDGA Golf Show here on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2. Don't forget you can watch the show as well, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Also on YouTube, be sure to hit that subscribe button on the ESPN Chicago YouTube page. And of course, take us on the go as well with the ESPN Chicago app. Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan, we talk golf with you every single Saturday morning throughout the golf season, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. Cloudy morning here in the city of Chicago, and some interesting weather conditions throughout the week, Mike. Some that maybe some have never seen before when they've gone about their golf ventures, but I'm sure it's something that certainly impacted you. It impacted me over the course of the week, but the smoke that we saw in Chicago. And you may be thinking, oh, like the smoke in Chicago, like how is that going to affect your golf game? Well, first of all, maybe you're feeling a little more winded as you get through to that back nine and down the stretch of your round. But another thing that I noticed, because we had our ESPN Grip It and Sip It golf outing earlier this week, if you got a ball up in the air, you lost it. And you were just praying you saw it come down out of the smoke. And it just kind of made me think like, this is one of the more interesting weather conditions that I've seen in my time playing golf, watching golf, is seeing a ball go up into a cloud of smoke. And sometimes you never see it come down out of it.
Well, first off, good morning, Tyler. And good morning, everybody in Chicago. Yeah, the weather is a little bit, how should we say, gray and smoky as we're the city's buzzing down here with the race car or the races going on. It's kind of crazy, but yeah, smoke has been really the the story of the week. And there's the old adage where there's smoke, there's fire, and hopefully that part of it stays away from here. But we are very, very dry here. But when I saw what was going on, it reminded me in my days of playing in tournaments of about early fog. It was like, especially when you're out on the coasts, that layer, that, as you we said during the U.S. Open week, the marine layer, if you will.
That was the buzzword.
Yeah, that was the buzzword. And, you know, with the smoke in tournament golf, you have to be able to see the flag, like when you tee off. Otherwise, they can't play. So in recreational golf, obviously, we're just going to go out, hit it, and hopefully we can find it. But in pure tournament play, they've got to be able to see where the flag is. So they know how to set up a tee shot and all the rest of it. But I will tell you, in all my life playing golf, I've never been, you know, involved in these kinds of conditions. Such to the extent, I had a couple friends tell me that when they played and they didn't wear a mask, they came in and they had sore throats from it.
Yeah.
And I believe it. I mean, I was outside for a while and I could feel the, you know, the irritation in the back of my throat as well. So I think I read somewhere that staying outside all day is somewhere between smoking a half a pack to a full pack of cigarettes. Right. So that can't be good.
Right. And it was funny because, like, there were some people that were smoking cigars at this event, and it was almost like, oh, you don't really need a cigar for a day like today with the amount of smoke that's out there in the air right now. It was interesting. It was a different sort of weather hazard that I've seen impact people's golf games, because yeah, like some people are feeling the effects of it. Some people feeling a little lightheaded, a little maybe a little bit of a headache by the time that things got going. And it was interesting because I'd never seen anything like it. I ran into Tracy Butler in the halls the other day here from ABC7 and asked her, like, hey, have you ever really seen anything like this? And she was like, no, I've never, like, in all my years of working weather here in Chicago, never seen something like this. And she was out at the golf outing as well. And it was just super interesting to see everyone kind of and how they approach the smoke. Like you mentioned, some people out there with masks because you need it because of the way that the smoke was, and people were inhaling the smoke. Like, I was at the Cubs game the next day. You saw a lot of people out there with masks, and just the way that it was impacting people's golf games, whether it was finding balls or just the fatigue, it was interesting. And I'd never really seen anything like that. And never even the day that it happened and driving out there, I never considered it to be something that may impact the overall day of how people were going to play their rounds.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, it just appears to be sort of a cloudy day, and it is, but it's a manufactured cloud, and it's not easy to deal with for people with respiratory issues. I know that some of the operators were telling me during the week that, believe it or not, it impacted some of the tee sheet because some people were at risk and just didn't want to come out. So, believe it or not, it is having an impact, but hopefully this higher pressure will come in and move this stuff back up north again, and so we get some clean air. And I cannot believe this, you know, this air, if you will, that's out here right now is going to be good for these cars running around downtown, as well as getting into the, you know, the air into the manifold and all that good stuff. But for us golfers, yeah, unfortunately or fortunately, this game is played outside, and you've got to play out in the conditions. And this week we were given conditions that I've just never seen before. Smoke.
Right.
And there's the old adage, when you're into the wind, we'll often say, well, we're into the smoke. And the most I've ever smelled before is when we had a tournament near a warehouse that burned to the ground. You know, we're playing there 2 days later, and you could smell the after effects. But that's what it took me back to. Had the same kind of that burn, you know, just that bad smoky smell. And yeah, it's very irritating. And then if you don't play well, it's even more irritating.
Right. Well, at least you have a built-in excuse at that point.
Maybe.
312-332-3776. What's the most interesting golf weather or type of condition that you've played in before? 312-332-3776. Because for me, this was the most unique that I've ever seen and that I've ever experienced. But I'm sure you, with all the tournaments that you've worked, all the places that you've played, you've probably got a laundry list, Mike, of all of the different things that you've played through and in.
Well, the one that really comes to mind is when we were over in Lahinch, over in Ireland, and on most days you wouldn't have played. You literally had to bend forward, put your weight in front of you to walk into the wind. It was just that hard. Balls were being blown off the green, so that was the windiest I've ever actually played. Now, if we were trying to play an actual event, they would have never have played because balls were literally rolling off, being blown off the green if you were up high enough. You know, the other one has to deal with snow. Believe it or not, playing up at Chevy Chase in an event when I was in high school, it started snowing on the first tee. And, you know, what I learned early on is when you have horrible weather or difficult or challenging conditions, you have to have a different mindset. You have to go into it with the idea that you're embracing the condition so that right away you are eliminating much of the field because they're going to use it as an excuse. They're going to use it as a reason that they're going to play bad today. Mm-hmm. And that negative thought process will start to enter into their mind. And the moment that first shot goes wayward, then all of a sudden it's like, well, it's supposed to because it's terrible conditions. It's cold. My hands are cold, this, that, and the other. The other trick to it is to be prepared. So have mittens, have umbrellas, have multiple gloves, have extra towels, have the umbrella, you know. Mm-hmm. So if you come prepared to be in the conditions, as extreme as they may get, and still be able to play, then you have a mindset to go on out and survive. And often that's what playing in these conditions is all about, is just to survive. And when the conditions get bad, every shot matters. It really does. And if you take, like, if you say, ah, this one doesn't matter, you'd be amazed at when you get in at just how difficult it was. And you'll think back, you know, that one where I was just sloppy. If I wouldn't have done that, I would have easily made the cut or finished in the top 10 or finished in the top 3. So really, when the conditions are bad, don't ever give up. That's the thing, because the rest of the field is suffering just like you. We have the tendency to internalize to ourselves that this is only happening to me, mm-hmm. but in fact, it's happening to everybody.
Right. And I think one of the things you bring up is always being prepared. And there is so much gear and technology out there these days that – you can play through anything at this point with these rain and storm suits, with the different gloves now that they have, these rain gloves. Like, there is a bunch of different gear out there that can really prepare you for any sort of conditions that you might face on the golf course these days.
Oh, absolutely. And you bring up a point about rain gloves. Now, when I was a junior and, you know, playing golf, there was no such thing. Mm-hmm. We would go through 5 to 10 gloves in a rainy round without any problem, and we would put them up in our umbrellas and hang them like they were decorations, trying to dry them out as we would walk shot to shot. But these rain gloves these days, it's almost like they become tackier as it rains. It's crazy. And these grips that they're now making, you know, actually perform better when they're wet. So the technology is absolutely incredible. And being prepared, if you're not prepared for this, you know, for the weather, and you find yourself in a difficult situation and the others are prepared, you've just let yourself down. And that's a mental error. That's something you could have controlled before you started the round. And that is the night before, packing everything. And if you're not sure, put it in there anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing. If you went through my golf bag, I've got like everything from a first aid kit to, you know, terrain gloves.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I always make sure to keep in my bag, no matter what, because you always bring up the mental hurdle of this, right? And I know I'm going to create every single excuse in the book, because there's nothing I hate more than walking in wet socks. And I always make sure to have one or two extra pairs of socks in my bag in the event, A, that it's rainy, or B, the course that I'm playing doesn't retain water very well, and maybe you're stepping in some puddles throughout the course of your round, and you need to change your socks midway through your round. Like, you always want to have some sort of preparation in your bag. And there's really no excuse for it at this point, because there's so many different things that can help combat the conditions that you may be playing in these days.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, if you go into the back of my car right now, you will see everything from rain suits to wind gear to mittens. And I still keep the winter hat in there. And I just had it out 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it was in June, and I'm bringing mittens and a hat with me just in case, because the temperatures early in the morning were just so cool. And, you know, our body and our blood starts to thin out as the weather gets warmer. It's not running like molasses like it was in January. So preparation is the whole key when you have bad weather. And this week with the smoke, if you have respiratory issues, you were having that mask and you were watching how much time you were really spending outdoors. And, you know, are you going to practice as long before you play? Probably not, so that you can maximize the time that you're out on the course.
Yep. 312-332-3776. What are the strangest weather conditions you've ever played in, or most unique weather conditions you've ever played in? We'd love to hear from you. 312-332-3776. I've got a story about how the weather actually almost really dampened our round at one of the most prestigious courses in North America. I'll tell you that story when we come back. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Again, we'd love to hear from you. 312-332-3776. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan. This is the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment is brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan, we're talking golf with you. Some interesting weather this week across the Chicagoland area. You probably noticed it in your own backyard, quite literally, as the smoke rolled through from the wildfires up in Canada. And it just got us thinking about some of the crazy golf weather that we've played. And now, this is something that I'm sure everyone can relate to, like the heavy rains that come down. But it was actually, for me, it took place while I was playing Pinehurst number 2. and just being out there on that course, and it's like, all right, we're playing Pinehurst number two. We're just going to have to trek on through this. And like everyone sort of took a little break. I remember we were, it was coming down really hard. And they were telling us, you don't have to go in, but you should stop play right now. And so we all kind of camped under a tree for probably about 20 or so minutes, just planted under there and just trying to trek through Pinehurst number two, because who knows if you ever get back to that course, right? And just being out there for those type of conditions, you have to salvage the round at any cost possible.
Yeah, and you know, and it's funny, having lived at a resort myself down in Kiowa, mm-hmm. it's funny, the staff knows this. They know when you come to play an iconic course and the weather is marginal to bad, they know they're still getting a full tee sheet because right. of just what you said. So they have to be prepared. In fact, they go so far as to help get the customers more prepared than they would have ever even thought. So they're there sitting with extra towels and trying to coach them up to be on their team. It's almost kind of like, you know, like NASCAR. It's like your pit team, you know, right. they're, yeah. they're getting you ready to put you in your buggy and out you go. And, you know, whether you need to have the covers in and around the cart, because some of the resorts carry those things these mm-hmm. days to allow yourself to get into a, at least a dry area for a short bit, because they know you're going to go play yeah. 18 holes, because to your point, when's the next time you're going to be back?
Right. And we were walking the course too, because oh. it was Pinehurst number two. Like you,
yeah.
we were like, let's walk, because it would be, we just want to kind of see everything out there with the course and all that. But that was one that I'll never forget. And just kind of being, it's honestly like one of my fundamental memories of, like my core memories of the trip is sitting underneath that tree. I believe it was on the 13th hole, just underneath that tree with all my friends that we were on the trip with. And it was just, it was fun because some of us were going down the fairway. The others were coming up the other fairway. And we just kind of had this little meeting point right in the middle there. That was really cool and really, really fun, and something that I'll never forget is sitting underneath that tree. And you never know what kind of core memories you get out of these strange weather conditions that you end up playing through.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, my father, for the better part of 20-plus years, hosted an event called the Gilligan Open. And it mm-hmm. started at the Village Links and ended up over at Cantini. And I think the first or second year we were at Cantini, we're in the midst of the round, and all of a sudden the sky started getting dark. It started getting kind of black, and then it turned green and dark green. And that we were literally coming off the course, and we could see the tornado up above us. And everybody had to go into the cart barn at Cantini, because that was the only place you could go for that kind of an emergency. And they had to shut the course down for several days because of all the trees that they lost. So that was the most severe weather that I've ever been a part of. But to your point, I remember hanging out in the cart barn with my uncle because he right. was in town for it. And we had a great time hanging in the cart barn because, of course, what did the staff do? They got smart. They brought down a tub of beers. So we were hanging out.
Can't have a bad time like that.
Yeah. And it was one of the most, you know, bad weather, memorable moments. But I look on it upon it with fondest of memories. So, yeah.
312-332-3776 if you've got a favorite golf weather story. Let's head on out to Joliet. JB's on the phone. What's up, JB?
Hey, how we doing?
Good. Hey, JB.
What's on your mind?
So, 1991, high school. I come in second place in the regionals. The winner shot 79. I shot 81 and bogeyed the last three holes. So, bad amount of that. But in the sectionals, it was a downpour in rain. Steady rain all day, and they had Danville Country Club set up for the state finals, so they couldn't cancel anything or play the next weekend. We had to play sectionals in a complete downpour, hard rain, and for putting, you could move the ball anywhere on the green as long as it wasn't closer to hole to putt. That's how bad it was.
Wow.
For the official IHSA golf tournament.
Wow.
Yeah.
How'd you end up shooting, JB? Yeah.
I shot 93. I think the winner shot low 80s, if I'm not mistaken. And I missed state by one or two strokes, if I'm not mistaken.
Missing state by one or two strokes with a 93 is pretty spectacular.
Wow.
Right.
That's
there.
Awesome.
You want to shout out your high school, too?
Joliet Catholic, baby.
All right.
I'm the golfer of the football school.
Well, that's don't feel fun. Bad. I was a Hilltopper as well, but at Glenbard West, but I was a golfer, not the football player.
I hear you. All right, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks for the call, JB. Appreciate
it. That's awesome.
312-332-3776. I've never heard of that level in like a competition of that highest stakes too with the like I know it's high school and you're not playing for money or anything, but like that's the highest sort of level that you're playing for at the high school ranks.
It is, and unfortunately with our climate and you know the shortness of season, they have to do everything they can to get the golf tournament in, and in that case, I mean, they obviously they're putting on greens that and doing things that you would just wouldn't do on a PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. Now, the PGA Tour and a lot of major championships, we always, for bad weather, knew that it was coming. So we had a plethora of squeegees. Mm-hmm. And they would literally go out there like with the tennis court squeegees and just roll that water right off. Mm-hmm. And for like Ryder Cup, I remember one year, we just followed the play. And just as they get to the greens, everyone would squeegee. So everyone had the same conditions each and every time.
Right. But you always see it too, like at the Masters at Augusta. Like we're usually good for one rain day down at Augusta, and it's always like, oh, the squeegees are out. The squeegees are out, right? It's almost like the anti tarp is off the field. Like the squeegees are out on the greens. That's what it is. That's how it rolls that way.
It is. But it's funny. I had a friend of the show just text in, and he reminded me that you know the smoke today is just like a normal day out in Gary or Pittsburgh when they're running the mills.
Right.
So a lot of towns, this is. You know, where they get the black lung, and having worked out in coal mining country, black lung and all that kind of thing. So, you know, we're spoiled with the clean air, but it's been tough.
312-332-3776. If you want to share your unique or strange weather condition story with us, 312-332-3776. Craig's in Norwich. What's up, Craig?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What you got Craig. For us?
Good. Just jumped off a treadmill, so if I'm sounds like I'm out of something.
It's not but, the smoke got to you.
Yeah. Well, we golfed yesterday. We were out. We got a tee time out at Maple Meadows, and we happened to get on there, and it was tiring. It was weird. It's a weird round because I tired out at the end of the round, and you guys mentioned the smoke situation. But Wednesday we played Highlands of Elgin, and it was okay, but it was much smokier anyway. But by far that was the strangest conditions, but. A year ago, December, when it gets cold and everybody closes, we go out to Pine Crest out in Huntley. And they're open all year as long as you don't have snow and they have carts, you know, because I always ride a cart whenever I golf. I don't pull a cart. Anyway, we went out there. It was 37 degrees and the winds were 35 miles an hour gusting to 50. And it was cold. So I went into the clubhouse to check in. None of my buddies were there yet. And I told the guy, I'm not sure we're going out, but the guy, he had a covered cart for an extra $20, which I grabbed it immediately. And then one of my buddies went with me, and we went out and golfed. And it wasn't bad because we had the covered cart, but the other two guys were walking. They were freezing. So we kept busting our chops all day. We'd pull up next to them and go, hey, we got some hot chocolate going on in here, you know, and that kind of, you know, and we got the chili going and that kind of stuff, you know. But yeah, it was cold. It was 37 degrees, 50 mile an hour gusts, and I won't do that again. I just won't do it.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Craig. Appreciate it. That's a good one right there. Like nothing like a little winter golf, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you can do it nowadays with some of the courses that'll stay open.
Yep, no doubt. And, you know, it's, you know, with our weather, you have to be a hardy group. I mean, it's funny when I tell people what we play in, and yet they live south of the Mason-Dixon line, and they look at me like I got four heads. They're like, really?
Yeah.
What we just do down here is we just wait for a better day, and it's because they constantly have them coming.
Right.
Where we just simply don't.
Yeah.
So that's why I think the Midwestern person is the most hardy person, and the most battle-tested when it comes to weather. I think we're the best mutters in the country because of what we have to play in.
Yeah, like I've got a friend in North Carolina, and they're like, oh, they turn their nose up if the grass is a little yellow.
That's right.
And it's 60 degrees, right?
Well, they're spoiled.
Yep, 312-332-3776, talking about the most unique weather that you've played through after some people throughout the Chicagoland area this week got to play in the smoke. Throughout the area. 312-332-3776. Chet is in Lyle. What's up, Chet?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Well, I wasn't playing. I was caddying.
That's 1975. Almost better. Yeah, I was going to say.
Okay, well, I could tell you a lot of caddy stories with bad weather, but the most unique one I had was I was caddying in the 1975 Western Open when Bobby Nichols, Jerry Hurd, and Lee Trevino got struck by lightning.
I was at that event that day, Chet.
Okay. And I was on one side of Teal Lake. My player was playing the 14th hole, and the lightning strike that hit Bobby Nichols was on the other side of Teal Lake. He was playing, I believe, the fourth hole at that time. And my player, he saw the crack of lightning. This was unusual because the storm came from the east. And lightning came bolt. I was looking at my player who was getting ready to pull his shot. I saw the lightning bolt come down, and he heard the crack. He threw me the club. He goes, "We're going in." That was it.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was Bobby Nichols or Jerry Hurd. One of the two had a metal plate in their head. And as he, after got hit, he was actually breathing like electricity. I mean, that's how he got hit. That was, I was there that day. And when it hit, I was over on the 15th hole. I'll never forget that. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Thanks. Long par five.
Yep.
Thanks for the call, Chet. Appreciate it. That's Chet and Lyle, 312-332-3776. If you got your best weather story for us, how about our buddy Bill in Grays Lake? What's up, Bill?
Guys, great show, as always. Good morning. It's going to be hard to beat Trevino getting struck by lightning. But I played at ASU, and in the Valley, they have a unique thing called a dust storm. And if you've ever seen the movie The Mummy, where the face of the mummy comes out of the giant wall of dust, that's exactly what you'll experience in Arizona in a dust storm. I mean, we had to get under the cart, throw the bags on one side of the cart so the dust would not impale your face. And it goes from light to dark extremely fast. But that was pretty wild. From a guy from the Midwest experienced something like that, it was definitely different. Have a good day, guys.
That's interesting, Bill. Appreciate the phone call there. That's a unique one.
A dust storm?
Right.
Wow, that sounds pretty serious.
And it just kind of shows you like the different different areas. You're going to get different things. And he's talking about some stuff out west that you can get the dust storm. Yeah. We're not going to get that here in all likelihood, but it's out west.
Unless you have a golf course next to a farm these days with as dry as it might be.
That's true.
Yeah, otherwise, we're not going to see many dust storms.
312-332-3776. Let's get Jim in Antioch here before we hit the break. What's up, Jim?
Hi, guys. Now, this isn't a thunderstorm, just a cloudburst. We knew it was going away. So I'm putting, umbrella in one hand, one-handed putting.
Wow.
Sunk a 30-footer, documented.
All right.
We're pretty happy. You know, did a little skip after that one. Have a good one.
Thanks for the call, Jim.
I'll tell you what, you know, being able to putt with a boom-boom shoot, as we call them, in your hand, one-handed, 30-footer, that's
pretty impressive.
I don't know if I call that luck or skill, but nonetheless, it went in the hole, so if they wanted a story, they'd make the boxes bigger on the scorecard.
Yep. 312-332-3776. If you've got a weather story that you'd like to share with us, we've been talking all about the interesting and unique conditions throughout the Chicagoland area with the smoke that's hit across the area this week, and a number of people going out and playing and maybe losing a ball once they hit the smoke up in the air. 312-332-3776. We'll take your calls and more when we come back. This segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Segment is brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro Golf Bag. Talking golf with you every single Saturday here on the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Had The chance to see Ron Cassidy earlier this week, the director of golf up at Glenview Park, and it was good to see him. Mm-hmm. So be sure to get on out there and say hello to Ron if you're ever up in that neck of the woods up in Glenview. 312-332-3776. We've been talking a lot about some of the unique weather across the area this week with the smoke and how that sort of impacted golfing throughout the Chicagoland area. And people have been sharing some of their best stories of some of the unique weather that they've played through, whether it's lightning strikes, dust storms, which was a new one for us to hear. 312-332-3776. We'd love to hear from you as well. Some other news from this week as well. You know, the LIV Golf Tour continues as they head on out to Spain for their next event. That's underway right now. Currently, Taylor Gooch and Brooks Koepka in a tie for first right now at 5-under. Kevin Na 4-under. Those are your top three right now, as is Jason Kokrak and Bryson DeChambeau also at 4-under right now. So those are your top five out in Spain right now. But it was interesting because guys were speaking heading mm-hmm. into this event. And one of them, Phil Mickelson, who kind of got the ball rolling on everything that is LIV Golf, and he was one of the first big names to make the leap across the pond there. And he was asked, with the merger and everything that's sort of happening right now with LIV and the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour all singing Kumbaya at this point, do you feel vindicated based off of everything that's gone down over the last month or so?
I would say I felt appreciation that we got to this point where we're working together, because it makes me confident with where the game of golf is headed in the future. We felt like it was going to be about 2 years roughly before we got to that point. It took a year quicker than I thought it would be. And going forward, we're all very optimistic about where the game of golf and the professional golf specifically is headed. Also, a lot of the changes that have been made because of LIV, we're all very appreciative, both on the LIV Tour as well as the PGA Tour. And we're happy for the guys out there that they're having that they're having some positive changes there as well.
That kind of, to me, felt like Phil being a little snobby there. Like, I know I fixed this, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to take all the credit for it. But I'm, and he used the word, I'm appreciative as mm-hmm. opposed to vindicated. But that's just, it felt like Phil being Phil right there.
No doubt. Sometimes Phil would do himself a big favor by just keeping his thoughts to himself is my own opinion. But yeah, it sounded a little grandstanding to me, a little let me, you know, pat myself on the back on this one. But in the end, you know, he was right on many yes. different levels. And you know, there's something to be said about being right and being humble, and mm-hmm. I don't know that humble is in Phil's vocabulary.
Yeah, not in his wheelhouse of ways to act right there. But again, like, you do have to, when you think back of everything that's gone down with the PGA Tour over the last year, with some of these elevated events, the enhanced PIP money, all that stuff, it's kind of like, huh, Phil was right. Like, yeah. That's kind of the overarching feeling that I think a lot of golf fans are getting, and love him or hate him, Phil was right, is kind of the way a lot of people are feeling about how everything went down. You know, one of the other things, too, from the week is the British Masters are also taking place. Nick Faldo spoke for, the first time since the merger between PIF and the PGA Tour. And he was talking a little bit about LIV Golf and saying that nobody's really interested and that they're not going to get the sponsorships. But he also kind of comes back to it and says that when the dust settles, like, everything that's happened is good for the game, and he thinks the game's in a really good spot. And it's interesting to hear Sir Nick Faldo's thoughts. Again, we're not getting him every single week anymore like we used to since he has left CBS. And remember, that was always one of the rumors, especially with the timing of everything when he left CBS, was right. Is he going to make the leap over to the LIV Golf broadcast? And that was certainly going to shake things up, but he's stayed pretty true to his PGA Tour loyalty, and I think these latest comments certainly a part of that. They're saying that nobody's really interested in LIV Golf.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, and I think he most specifically pointed out the team element that nobody's really embracing it. Like,
and I think he's right,
and I think he is right, and I think he points out to the, you know, the fact that, you know, these guys see each other before they go out, and they're playing with as an individual with other individuals that aren't on their team, and they're not shoulder to shoulder like in a rugby game or a football game, and you know, it's not a team event in that regard. So I think he then goes on to talk about how the Ryder Cup is the most ultimate golf team event because of the passion and the, you know, the patriotic and patriotism and, you know, doing it for your country and, you know, playing for no money and all that good stuff. So that's set up to be the true team event in golf, but we just can't associate with, you know, the cliques and the crushers and, you know, all these clip art logos. And the thing is, golf is an individual game. You know, it's a team game at the collegiate level. And I think we tune in to see how our respective alma maters, and again, we have a emotional tie to these schools as to why we follow golf in a team way at the collegiate level. And of course, there are the Rosangs, the Tiger Woods of the world, of that are the phenoms that we're watching as they come out of college. But back to Nick, you know, his point is very valid. And I think part of the meeting that came out, or part of the document that was, you know, leaked out, if you will, that when everybody heads to Washington July 11th to be in front of, you know, Congress to talk about this thing, they, you know, they just, I don't know, there's a lot out there. And the thing that they have going is that there's just, you know, a lot of different scenarios that could unfold with all of this. And yeah, it's just, it's very complicated. On one hand, and on the other hand, I think the PGA Tour is going to have a chance to really take a hard look at this and really assess whether or not team golf is something that should be, you know, moving on. And will it be under LIV or will it be under the PGA Tour? There's just so much we just don't know.
Right. 312-332-3776. If you've got a thought on anything happening PGA Tour and LIV right now, real quickly, do want to get to Tom. He's in McHenry. He's got a weather story for us. What's up, Tom?
Hey, thanks, guys. This is about 20 years ago. My buddy and I were on a course in Lake County, and we were on the 17th hole. We were just trying to finish out. So we had a cart, but we were away from the cart when the lightning and thunders started to hit. So we ran under these two trees, and he still had his iron in his hand, and the lightning was hitting, and I said, you know, I said, get rid of the club. So he whipped it underhanded towards the cart. It hit the head, and then it bounced. Right when it bounced, a lightning strike hit it.
Wow.
And yes, yeah, so it blew the handle off.
Wow.
And it created a crease in the shaft, you know, they're hollow. So it opened up the shaft, and there was burn marks on it.
Jeez.
So I haven't talked to him lately, but he kept that club, and he used to show it off to people.
What club was it?
So it was like, as I recall, I think it was a 6-iron.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, because we were on the fairway. So.
Wow.
Yeah, and he had kept that club, and he used to show it off. He said, "Yeah, we almost got killed." You know.
That's his war prop right there.
That was about
there.
20 years ago. Yeah.
That's a good
anyway,
one.
Love the show.
Appreciate it, Tom. Thanks for the call. 312-332-3776. The zapped 6-iron there.
Yeah, I'll tell you, lightning is nothing to fool around with. Mm-hmm. It really isn't. And you think, it's not going to hit me. Want to bet? I've got a friend of mine that was hit. To this day, if he even hears just a crackle of thunder, we're off the course. And I don't blame him. I mean, he was struck. He was in the hospital for 3 days. And, you know, back in the day when we would wear golf spikes, we were told in a lot of tournaments just to take our shoes off.
Wow.
And because of the metal that was underneath. And when I was at Glen Oak Country Club on the 13th hole, they had a lightning strike and it hit the sprinkling line underground.
Wow.
And you should have seen the hole. It blew into the fairway, right in the middle of the fairway. So lightning, when you hear those sirens, that is a friendly warning. And you do take cover, because lightning is the most unpredictable element that's out there from a weather perspective. And I think Tracy might confirm that.
312-332-3776. If you want to join us here on the CDGA Golf Show, this segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf. We'll be right back.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Talking golf with you every single Saturday here on the CDGA Golf Show. If you missed anything, check it out on the podcast on the CDGA Golf Show tab on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast. So the Rocket Mortgage Classic going on this week. The leaderboard right now, Taylor Moore and Taylor Pendrith, each at 13 under. Then you've got Ricky Fowler making a nice little run back after what he did at the U.S. Open. He's at 12 under right now, as is Ludvig Åberg. Then in a tie for fifth, Colin Morikawa had a nice round yesterday. He is 11 under along with Aaron Rye, Adam Shank, Justin Lower. So not maybe the star power that you're used to seeing at some of these events, but this not being one of those elevated events, only an $8.8 million purse here at the Rocket. Yeah, exactly. At the Rocket Mortgage Classic, that's what you're getting for a leaderboard right now. But maybe one of the more intriguing stories is who's not on the golf course, and you brought this to my attention earlier this week, Mike. But Eric Cole, his Iron Man streak ends on the PGA Tour after he played in 12 straight weeks. However, that doesn't mean he's taken the week off from golf.
That's right. Eric Cole had an interesting week, and this is why golf, in my opinion, is the greatest sport of them all. Eric, instead of taking the week off to rest like most people think he would, got in the car and drove 8 hours to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where he decided to play in the Frankie Fuhr Jr. Invitational. Frankie Fuhr was an amazing amateur player, did so much for the game of golf in Pittsburgh and in the state of Pennsylvania, in that given area of the country, if you will. And he's been hosting this event and has recently passed away, I believe, at the age of 96, I believe, but did so much and specifically did a lot for Eric Cole. Because in 2014, Eric actually won this event, and then it was a $40,000 first prize. But Frankie gave Eric Cole a special exemption to play in that event, and he won it. And the meaning to him, or how it much it meant to him, is this event allowed him in 2014. He had credit card bills all the way maxed out. He was deep in debt and basically out of finance, out of money. And this specific win allowed him to continue to pursue his dream. So as a result, Eric played last year. He played last year and finished, you know, I think 14th or 10th, and told the crew that he'd be back. Well, he didn't realize that he was going to make the tour and earn $2.9 million in those 12 weeks. So most people would have thought, oh, he's going to take it off. He'll make an excuse as to why he can't go. Couldn't get a flight out. He'll come up with an excuse, right? No, he shows up. And not only does he show up, the weather was poor. He played right away, no practice rounds, and starts off two over after the first four holes, but then proceeds to shoot 63. He goes into the final round with an 8-shot lead and wins by 9 shots. Now, it gets good because at the trophy presentation, they give him the check. He gave the check back to the family to donate to charity because that was his way of thanking Frankie and the family for everything that they did for him and to give him this chance to be where he is today. The man has a heart of gold, and he's an absolute class act. And I know he was getting ripped on social media for playing in this thing. Why would he go in and take money from somebody else? But I have to tell you, the comments from all the players, they were so thoroughly impressed. They are such Eric Cole fans now, and it's so hard not to root for somebody with that type of gratitude and that type of heart. So
right.
Congratulations, Eric Cole, for being a class act and showing us the way it should be done.
Yeah, and this was a guy who a week earlier was playing in the Travelers, one of those elevated events, and he at one point was, what, tied for second, I believe?
Yeah.
So he was playing really, really well, and then, boom, he turns around after all these rounds of golf over the last 12 weeks, about 3 months there. And turns it around and goes and plays in this event. So cool story there. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk with Andrew Lehman, the new tournament director at the John Deere Classic. So we will do that when we come back in 2 minutes. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.